Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You are listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Build Your Network. Today, I'm sitting here with Eugenio Straffi. Eugenio is one of the most versatile creative minds of the world stage as an acclaimed creator, director, and successful entrepreneur. He runs Rainbow, established in 1985 as founder and CEO, asserted itself as a leading global studio with the breakout success of the popular Winx Club saga, which was created by Straffi and introduced around the globe to tremendous fanfare through content licensing and merchandising channels. 25 years, successive years of growth came with the acquisition of Emmy award-winning studio Bardell Incorporated, as well as the Italy-based Colorado Film to expand in live-action quality productions. Creating and distributing original content for the whole family and reaching more than 150 countries, Rainbow is synonymous with Made in Italy excellence and creativity and ranks among the top global licensors in the world with more than 500 active licenses. Guys, it's going to be such a fun conversation, unique, interesting conversation that we don't get to have very often here on the show. And I can't wait to jump into a couple of things. But first, really quickly, if you are listening to this right now and you are a six or seven figure coach or consultant, agency owner, expert, and you know that a podcast could benefit your personal brand or your business in some way, but you just don't know where to get started with one, then head over to travischappell.com/coaching. There's a quick application there to jump on a call with someone on my team to see if you might be a good fit for our coaching programs to help you become a better podcaster. That's travischappell.com/coaching. Eugenio, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me today. I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, Travis. And after I hear you advertising your coaching program, maybe I should take a session because I'm not an expert in this kind of podcast interviews, but I'm happy to try and hopefully somebody will be interested to know more about me and Winx and Rainbows.
Let's do it, man. Anytime you need to need to hop on a call, just let me know and I'm happy to. So I want to build some context here, Eugenio. You've built an amazing, really culture and movement that's been in the homes of people in over 150 countries. Like, that's just a crazy thing to talk about. And I want to get into some of that. But first, before we dive in, I want to hear a little bit about how you got to where you are now. So let's rewind the clock all the way back to, you know, let's say 12 years old, Eugenio. Set the scene for us. Where were you living? What were your parents like? What was life like for you as Eugenio Straffi at 12 years old?
Okay, I grew up in a town in the center of Italy, but I grew up with the dream of writing stories, creating characters, you know, graphic novels, and eventually movies, even if as a child, that you know how expensive, how complicated it is. I just loved to watch them. And I was fascinated by, like I say, creating characters that can inspire people like I was inspired by my heroes at the time, you know. And so I've been writing and drawing for all my life in exercise books at school, at home. And, you know, I had my first friend were my schoolmates, which I fit in my stories and my characters, you know, my heroes. After that, I was continuing this in high school. And, of course, the genre of the story changed. Sometimes they were a little bit more dark, sometimes a little bit more complicated, or, you know, with some pretty female characters, because, you know, that's the age where you are more interested in also the other sex, you know, the girls and all. And nothing. I just finished my high school with a lot of drawing and stories, and I decided to go to Rome and propose it to some publishers. And I was lucky enough to find some publisher that started to publish my graphic novels at the age of 19.
Wow.
And I was at university and drawing my comic and graphic novel books at the same time. That's my, as I call my previous life. My parents were, of course, not believing in this as a possibility when I was a student, because they think that I need a proper job, you know, not drawing all these characters and heroes. And I continue to do it because I believe that they always think that, you know, it was like a hobby. And they were happy anyway, because, you know, when you're a teenager, if you're home on a desk, write a color, design, and write, is better than being, you know, somewhere else, maybe making silly things. And so they encouraged me to continue to be at home.
Yeah, right.
You know, and do this. But at the same time, it was not easy to believe that this could be translated into a real profession.
What were you going to university for?
I went because I had to please my mother, because she believed that you need to be having a degree and this job will not continue for you. You are lucky now that you find some publisher that buys some of your stories, but, you know, you have to think about being a real professional and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I went to university and continued to my work.
What did you study when you were in university? If it was something that your mom just kind of made you do, like, did you have any interest in the subject material that you were studying?
I selected the one that was most interesting for me and at the same time, not expensive, because in my hometown, Macerata, in the middle of Italy, there's a very ancient university, one of the first universities in Italy. So there's a lot of students, a lot of faculties, and I didn't need to go aside to choose one, whereas my sister was in Rome, for example, studying architecture. And I see that for my parents, which are not rich, they're just an average family, they had to support her with a lot of expenses every month. So I thought I need to choose something in my own town. So I prefer always to study literature. I like books. I like this. And I end up in foreign languages literature. That's what I studied at university. So I know quite a lot of English literature from the past and American literature as well.
Did that help you at all with your writing, do you think?
Yeah, I think it did. It did help me definitely for writing. And my previous high school was also Liceo Scientifico, which is very specific high school for for people to want to be scientists, mathematicians, physicians.
Yeah.
And because I was good in maths when I was at secondary school. And so that one, I believe, it always helped me to have a very fast way of problem solving and thinking to solution.
Yeah.
You know, in very short time, to have a plan B, plan C in all the main problems that I found out you have every day when you're running a business, you know, a complex business. So I cannot say that my education was wasted, even what I'm doing now. Of course, I didn't have the chance to go to an art academy or other thing, because again, my parents think that is for people that don't have the ability to study books, you know. And so I couldn't be a specialist in illustration or in other graphic, but that I had to do as a self-train and going to professional people to try to get advices, which is something I did since young. I had some kind of mentors, which are famous comic and illustrators in Italy, which I'm still very grateful for giving me some very interesting tips how to improve, how to get better in what I was trying to do as a teenager.
Looking back at that, just really quick before we move on, looking back at that, is there any sort of advice that you would give to maybe parents that are out there? Obviously, your mom wanted what was best for you, right? She was doing these things out of love. But for you, it was almost, you know, the opposite, because you wanted to do these other things that you looked at as being the thing that you were fired up about, or the thing that you wanted to really do in life. Do you have any advice for parents around like parenting their kids to find the path that works for them?
It would be easy for me to say yes, try to help the kids in what is their talents, you know, their passions, and try to support them in their way they would like to be in life, you know, as a professional, as a work. But and that's something that I've been even putting as a concept in some of my cartoons, where I try to talk about this kind of talents that you have to cultivate and
right.
and support as a parent. But at the end of the day, in a way, I think that you even need a counterparty to challenge you, because life is done of a lot of competitive environment and challenging environment. So I believe that if my mother was supportive, I would be more relaxed or not so motivated to show that I was right and she was wrong. You know what I mean?
And so that's fair. That is
she
fair.
Has been a big, truly, she has been a big motivator for me when she was trying to give me her wise advices and a way of seeing life as something that you have to, you know, you have to plan in a certain standard way.
Yeah,
for me, right. Which had my way of seeing things and my passion, really, as I was blessed, which I know many people, they don't know what to do even after they finish university. For me, it was really a kind of calling and really big passion from not even 12, even in primary school. I had my first comics written and drawn. And so I think that she was a big motivation to say, no, mom, it is possible to fulfill a dream. Coming from a small town, you know, being a small town boy with all my inexperience, to go and try to face the big city, the big publisher, and later on the broadcaster and all. But if you have a passion, if you have a dream and you work hard to improve yourself, you know, to reach there, you can make it, you know. And that is so I really don't know what to advise. In my way, I will try to help my daughters in their passion to reach their goal. But at the same time, believe it or not, it's a bit like the Italian government, you know. The Italian government also helped me, because I didn't have any grants. I have only taxes in the beginning. I have all the difficulty of the Italian bureaucracy, you know, and I was seeing my neighbor French that they buy computer and animation software, they get 50% grant from the government. They employ people, they get 50% grants. They get another special grant because it's a French show. So I was, on the other hand, dealing with only bureaucracy, taxes and all. So I had to try to do something better, you know, really to scratch my head, to go deep down to my best and motivate the people to give their best, because here there's no money. There's only the world that will decide whether our concept is strong or we are just another cartoon, another content, another IP that is out there, which will not make it. So I believe that in a way, when you are not in the advantage position, you are at disadvantage. If you have a motivated team, the right passion and talent, you can deliver more results. So sorry if I took long, but the answer is I don't know what to advise to the parents.
Sure. No, that's a really great answer though, because that does bring in another perspective that you sometimes don't think about. Is sometimes we need that extra push, that extra little piece of motivation that we might not have had if everybody was 100% supportive of everything that we did. It gives you that little chip on your shoulder, gives you that mentality anyway. Yeah. And sometimes that it can be one of the most valuable things that you can take into any venture, especially if it's one that's a little bit, you know, untraditional, like the one that you took. Talk to me now about after college. So you're done with university, you're still, you know, selling graphic novels. What steps come after that?
Well, the step, it was again, due to my character, my way of entrepreneur, you know, and ideas. I was very young, already selling a good number of graphic novels of the same character, you know. So
you're selling like a bunch of graphic novels, but all with the same character. So it's following one character, one story arc, one story
that I created, yes. And so I was a little bit bored, if I can say. You, when you're young, you always like to change, to do some other project, you know. And so I did some other projects which were totally different from the kind of black and white dark style. It was colorful. It was other stories. And I went to Bologna Book Fair with my folder to propose it to some French publishers. And I found some that told me, you should, propose your art to certain studio that they were partnered with, that they are doing some animation feature movie, you know, in Paris, and, they're looking for good artists and so on. So I took the chance to send the material to Paris, to the people that they advised me, and I got this proposal to go and work at this animation feature movie. And again, with my mother, there was completely, I said, you're ending well, now you make your dream come true, you're publishing your graphic novels, you know, at a young age. Why you need to go to Paris to do an animated movie and this, that? And I said, because I am curious to know, you know, I like the industry and that. So this is my chance to learn and to understand and see another part of our industry. And so I took the job, and it was very well paid job, by the way. And
That's always a bonus.
I was fascinated by, because it's short term, you know, it's not like full time. So it was on project based. And I was fascinated by this reality of, an animated studio where you have people doing character design, storyboard, some other doing background, some other doing animation, somebody is doing ink and paint, compositing, visual effect. And this strange, colorful machine called Silicon Graphics that they had a software inside that could do even a bit of 3D, and it was in the early 90s, so it was really the beginning. And Amiga 2000 for the line test, the Commodore Amiga, which you could see finally your drawings flipping on the computer, not anymore with Take One. Anyway, this is all technical thing that I don't want to bore the audience. So it was really the digital revolution and the organization, which I never seen in Italy so well, like in France. And I was very, very amazed by this experience, where the teamwork done by many professionals from all over Europe, by the way, they create some new work, some new production, from a script to something colorful and final in movement, in music and action. And I said, this is really very cool. This is a kind of industrial animation, something that really go on theater, go on television. It's even more powerful media than a comic or a graphic novel. So I know lots of good artists in Italy, and they're all maybe jobless or selling one comic per year, So I can try to do something like this. And so after I finished my experience, I started with my saving to organize this Rainbow Studio. Nice. And again, my mother will say, you have enough money now to buy your apartment. You are just 20 plus, you know, 27. And everybody should have a house, you know, in the first thing to buy. And this, and you can buy this machine that costs $50,000 per machine with the software, you know, and you waste all your money, you know, to pay.
That's so funny. So even after you proved it time and time again, she was still trying to pull
on the coattails a little.
But that was probably the real good advice because, you know, that was really a bit my dreamer and positive attitude that made me spend all my saving to buy all this first starting of equipment for animation at digital level, you know, and 3D machines. For, it was called Alias, you know, that now is Maya at the time. And Silicon Graphics was this beautiful, super fast computer, which were pink in color, green in color, very beautiful design, very nice graphic, but super expensive. They were not even using any of the normal operating system, you know, they have a special operating system, and that's why they were very expensive, only for few limited studios around the world. And we were the first to import in Italy many software, even Animo, the ink and paint system from the UK, because I believe in this industrial animation. I didn't want to do any artistic you know, production with my style that could be winning an award at the film festival. Or I always thought that I want to reach the widest audience, not so much for the business, because the business came actually a little bit naturally with the content, which was successful. Yeah. But I really wanted to tell my stories or other people's stories, which I found interesting, to bring it to the audience, the most wide audience as possible. That was my idea.
So you're in your, what, mid to late 20s when you started Rainbow?
Yeah, late 20s, yes.
Okay, so at what point does Winx Club Saga come on the scene, and how long did it take for you to realize that you had something that was rapidly growing in your hands?
Okay, Winx came, I would say, about 5 years from the foundation of Rainbow, where we started to do service job. We started to do easier production, cartoonish style for a younger audience, like a bridge audience, you know, the kind of show. And luckily, again, because Winx came, and because the first production, Tommy and Oscar, was successful in terms of rating. Because as you can imagine, for somebody like me, we didn't have the luxury to have, okay, we flopped the first production, let's do the next, you know?
Right, you got to get it right.
We had one shot to hit the target, because otherwise, already I had my hard time. That's why I was telling you, my mother was right, because to do animation and create entertainment from Italy, with the cost of a good animation, you need to sell it to many countries. And we didn't have the reputation in Italy to be able to do entertainment, content, cartoon, or even fiction that could be sold outside of Italy. And so it was not easy for me to convince the first few by some, because they were convinced by the fact that we are Italian, some other because they think that I may be one of these producers that get some money for pre-buy, pre-sell a show, and then they never deliver the show. You know, like the new companies has many challenges to face when they go to the market, you know? And so we managed to complete this first production, and luckily it was a big success for a few European countries and in Asia as well. And we start to gain a bit of name in the industry that we might be able to be producing something successful. So, by the way, my idea of animation was to sell it, but also to have a bit of the Disney model, to try to exploit it in publishing, in video games, in other media, because they help the brand awareness, but also the revenues of the company. You know, they need to be sustained and grow. And so we already, with Tommy and Oscar, I managed to do video game licensing deal, which was, by the way, quite successful, the video game, and publishing, some back to school, and a little bit of toys. So it was the beginning of our model to be successful. And then when I had enough resources to hire better people, and even the team was grown here in Rainbow, I took out of my drawer this idea of Wings, which I already had of fairies, you know, against witches and all these stories. And I put it in development, something which was much more complicated because you had to deal with humans, you know, with beautiful, even teenagers. And you had to be careful that they stay consistent in animation, you know, and it's much more difficult than do cartoonish, because cartoonish is done with a lot of deformation of the animals, you know, the puppets that you draw. And so you don't need the same level of quality that is required for something quite ambitious like Wings. And when I found the team ready, the talents, freelancers that joined the team, and the market was missing something like Wings, especially for Empower the Girls. Now it's totally flooded, the market of female heroines, which are very cool, you know, very, very strong and better than boy superheroes in a way, with more power, more ideas, more, you know. But believe me, at early 2000, when I started putting Wings in pre-production development, it was really original. It was all about, right, Pokemon, Digimon, Dragon Ball, Spider-Man. Those were the main titles on the market at the time. And so I think that is how Wings, also, of course, the storytelling, which was very original for a Western production, with a lot of cliffhanger at the end of each episode. You are telling a big story arc or coming of age for Bloom, that discovered to be a fairy, and all that story, how she get, you know, confident, how she grows, with a lot of twists and secrets that you find out as the story goes on. This is now the typical mechanism on Netflix or the platform, you know, they hook you to follow the story. But again, sure, in the early 2000s, all the buyers look at me and say, oh no, I want the Christmas episode, I want the Halloween episode, I want the beach episode. I want to have the chance that if I want to, by chance, shuffle the episode and broadcast episode 10 as a second or third or fourth, I can do it because everybody can understand. Wings is not possible because it's a story arc that cover each season.
Yeah.
And so it was again something that we had to try to bring to the market to make the buyers try, you know.
How was it to see something that you had brought to life on paper and an animation studio? How was it to see that turn into live action on Netflix?
Okay, already in animation was difficult to find the style and fine tune, but on TV is something that I always dream. Already is over 10 years that I am thinking that there is a huge fan base of Wings, you know, that could enjoy grown up something for an older target. And so now that we finally managed to produce it, of course it was very, very emotional, and I was very, very, you know, involved in this. But of course, there's been some compromise or some different point of views with the platform that we, sure, have to face along the way, like it's normal. And I believe that for second season, we're already doing much better, because I believe Netflix no more now what the fan want to see for Wings.
Yeah.
And we know more what Netflix is looking for this kind of editorial line for Wings. So I think everything can be better and better.
So Eugenio, you've been through a lot of ups and downs over the last, you know, couple decades, building this incredible career in filmmaking and animation studio and design and graphic novels and just every step of the stage along the way. What is something that you did not expect along the way that was extremely difficult for you to overcome? Like, you know, an obstacle or a rejection or something that didn't go as planned that caused a big setback and kind of made you wonder why you're doing this anymore?
Well, for me, to be honest, there's many things, of course, that didn't go the way I was hoping. And like I say, this has helped me to build with a mentality that I always need a plan B or a plan C to eventually reach where I want to be. And it was very, very healthy even to get cheated in the beginning, you know, by companies that never pay or whatever, you know, it helped. But what probably has helped me more on my 26 years after this, you know, rainbow experience has been that I have been putting a lot of trust in a couple of people that I brought, I grew, and I put them in a very beautiful position and all. And I've been in different way. One was artistically, you know, an artist which was my kind of friend. So I really help a lot. And he abandoned the rainbow when there was really the difficult time when I had no money, and to do my first finance the first shot on me in Oscar was very tough. And the other more recently was at the level of director, you know, the company which has cheated the company, you know, in a different way, taking advantage of his position for his personal interest. So I was very, very hurt by this kind of, you can imagine for somebody like me, with my background, even if I can be seen as a successful businessman, but I have still always more the passion and the human side that is stronger than everything. You know, and so it's more painful to be betrayed by somebody that you have entrusted, and maybe other people told you to don't trust so much and you didn't want to listen, you know, because you really like this person rather than lose a million or, you know, for something that didn't tend to be successful or, you know, was not the right advice. So my biggest challenge was in the beginning when I really had to climb Mount Everest to be trusted, you know, by somebody that our cartoon could be successful, and at the same time abandoned by some people that didn't believe that we could make it. So they preferred to go somewhere else, getting maybe just $100 more, but just because of the project. Later on, when we were very successful, to be on the other hand cheated and taken advantage because of my total trust in their honesty and integrity. So these are things that have been the worst thing that happened to me. Of course, the other you can imagine is we are facing, like I said, a competition where there are other countries which give much better grants to their companies. We are facing competition with the first in class, which are the US producer, and, you know, the UK companies, which are even an advantage for the language, even if Rainbow is always shooting in English, whether it's live action or animation. We do the lip sync with the American actors first, because Italy is used to be to dubbing. So we are working for the world. We cannot shoot in Italian. So, but still we are an Italian production company, you know? So we have always to earn our reputation, our trust through the path of delivering results.
Listen, Eugenio, this has been a fascinating conversation for me because I really enjoy all things media and production and stuff like that. And so this has been a really fun conversation. As we get everything wrapped up here, can you just give us some closing thoughts as well as tell us where we can find you online?
We can be reached definitely through our website, you know, and my team of PR, you know, can reach us. I'm not using social except, of course, WhatsApp. And this because I'm not sharing my personal things, you know, I'm not even though I am in the digital world, but I'm a little bit a reserved person, you know. So
all good, all good. So what's the website that we can find your stuff at?
There is my geniusstuff.com is my own name.
Perfect.
And that's where you can reach me, or Rainbow, whatever you want, you know, or even Perfect. LinkedIn. I have people that reach me via LinkedIn all the time, and I normally reply to everybody because I think it's out of courtesy, you know. That,
Perfect. So EugenioStraffi.com, EugenioStraffi.com. Head over there, check out some of the stuff that they have they're putting out there, or go to Netflix and search Winx Club Saga. If you have an interest in those types of series, because Netflix is putting out Sounds Like season 2 at the moment. And but this has been something that's been in the works for the last 15 plus years. So the storyline's well thought out. There's a lot of different character development and plot pieces that are in there that I think you really enjoy. So check out Winx Club Saga over on Netflix. Eugenio, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Had a fantastic time chatting with you.
Thank you for really, it was my pleasure and honor to be with you today. I hope that you will have some people that find this conversation interesting. I know you have very important and interesting people that were on your podcast before. So
definitely.
I fall in the same league, but.
Of course, I don't think they'll be disappointed at all. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time.
And hopefully they understand my English.
I understood everything perfectly clear. So I think everybody listening will have a good time tuning into this one. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to travischappell.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.